Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Hello and welcome back. I'm so glad that you decided to join us today with us. Of course, I'm Hope. And my husband John is here also.
I'm always here.
Yes, you are.
It's amazing how that works out, isn't
it? I
know.
I could sit here and not be recorded all the time, but if people want to hear me, you're here.
All right, that would be an interesting podcast.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, she meant well. I intended to do a podcast. I sat in front of the microphone, but
the walls heard me.
But nothing went into the computer, so
yeah. Exactly.
So Hope actually said that she was going to let me introduce our guest today. Isn't that crazy?
It's so crazy.
It's totally crazy.
It's because you know her pretty good. So I
know.
I figured,
I don't usually get to do this part. So, So today we have with us a very special guest, my oldest daughter, Alexis. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So Alexis has been with us before.
I thought you were going to say how long she's been with us.
Well, she's been with us
total
25 years. She's been with us. But on the podcast, she's been with us a couple times, I think, right?
Yeah, she
was here.
This is third?
Yeah, because I did one as a guest, and then we did the family one a couple months ago.
And you had to catch up with Jay, so because Jay's been three
times. So on the family one, you weren't a guest.
I mean, I was a guest, but it was like a group thing, so.
Oh, you didn't get your own.
It wasn't exclusive.
Yeah. Right. She wanted her own, since Jay had his own twice.
Right.
Alexis is getting her own for the second time. So, yeah, so Alexis is here today, and so I'm glad that she gets to be here, and that's the extent of what I get to do, so I get to turn it back over to Hope. She's the one with the notes, so she's going to take it away.
Yes, and Alexis's birthday is right around the corner, just a couple days.
What?
Exciting.
Yes, it's a monumental time.
Yeah, 25. I'm a quarter of a century.
Ooh,
you old. You look just like a monument.
I feel like a monument.
With a firm foundation.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, that's awesome. So we are a few weeks into January, and I was thinking, you know, one of the most popular things that people like to talk about is like the New Year's resolutions. So do you guys have any New Year's resolutions?
No. I mean, listen, we could all pretend that I'm doing that, but no.
We can pretend. We don't need to pretend. It's
I mean,
okay.
Listen, every year we get to this point, I'm like, I'm going to lose weight. And it's like making a resolution, I think, makes it worse for me.
Yeah.
It's like as soon as I do that, it's like, wah, wah, I'm a failure
already.
Exactly.
Like, when you decide to make
by
it
by the third week of January, it's like I'm out.
Right.
Yeah, I'd agree. I feel the same way. When I call it a resolution, then the minute I don't do it, or the one day I fail, I'm like, oh well, better luck next year, and then I just give up on them. So it's better for me not to call it a resolution, even if it is. That way, I can start it on like January 5th if I want to, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's actually, I think it's very good advice when you're talking about that kind of stuff, because I mean, I don't really even know anybody who's been successful ever on a New Year's resolution. And I think it's because it's such a big bite to take.
Okay, you're committing for 365 days. Right. I'm going to do this. And that's a lot. It's a big commitment for a lot of people.
Well, and it's funny the way you just said it too. You're like, because if you get into a few days into January and you've already failed and you're like, better luck next year.
Right.
But now you have 12 months. It's like, I didn't even try at all.
But if you call it a resolution, that means you have to start it on January 1st and you have to do it the whole year.
Because that's the only time resolutions work.
Exactly.
I can only resolve. Is that what it is?
I think so. Resolution.
I can only resolve to make my
resolute to.
I know. That's what I wanted to say. My resolute. I can only resolute in January.
I don't know. The root word. I don't know.
Listen, you're the school teacher.
I know. That's why I think it's resolve, because you resolve to do something, you know?
I mean, you do teach second grade, so you're probably not talking about that kind of stuff.
No, half my kids couldn't read, so. We're just working on like phonics. Yay.
Right. Blending letter sounds.
Yes, my favorite.
Yeah, so I totally agree with everything you guys are saying. I mean, it's,
it's just too much, you know, mm-hmm. it's too much. The pressure is like really hard. And I mean, of course we're putting it on ourselves if we're choosing it. Cause I mean, you don't really ever pick one for somebody else. Cause that would be awful.
pick a resolution. Yeah, I have a New Year's resolution for you.
Be better.
You need to do this.
Brush your teeth.
Oh my gosh. No, that is something you should give someone else. If you know someone in your life that's not brushing their teeth, you should try that.
But listen, if you forgot on January 5th, please don't wait till next year.
That's true.
I have a year till I need to brush my teeth again.
But that's just it. It's, you know, in my purview of all of that, I never pick a New Year's resolution. Mm-hmm. And because it's, you know, when you do fail, then it's like, oh, I have to wait till next year, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's silly in my, you know, if you think that there's something that needs to change, you need to change it now.
Right.
Start now, you know, you could maybe say Monday. But don't let it always be Monday.
It's like Monday afternoon, and you're like, on Monday, I'll start. Wait, it is Monday.
Next Monday.
That's better than waiting a whole 365
days. I have
days,
7 days, thank you.
Yeah, but if you do it every Monday, then.
It's better than waiting until next year.
Yeah.
True.
It is crazy that we just entered into 2025, because what?
I know.
It's just insane.
I feel like all the years go by fast, but 2024 has definitely gone by fast. When I think about all that's happened this year, I'm like, wow, that was a lot that happened this year. But at the same time, I'm like, I really do feel like it was just January. Like, yes. I think back to even like March and April, and I'm like, no, it was just March, like 2 minutes ago. And no, it wasn't. So yeah, that's crazy.
You're right, though. I mean, this was a fast year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with, you know, trying to make good choices and do the right things and different things like that. And a lot of times I think people don't succeed. We'll say that they don't succeed because of lack of organization in their life. Mm. You know, I really intend on, let's just say, spending time with God. Mm-hmm. Every day. I really intend on doing that. And I'm going to do that. But if you don't sit down and look at your schedule and make the time and make the choice, then it's most likely not going to happen. Your intent can be there all the time, but it's not going to actually happen unless you take the steps of preparing yourself for it.
Right.
And which kind of leads me to the topic that we're talking about today, which is prioritizing. And so
I thought it was resoluting.
Then we were just done because we're not going to do it.
You're like, here we are. We're 8 minutes in.
That's all.
Goodbye.
All folks. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Right. Exactly. We'll try again.
Awesome. No, it's prioritizing. So, Alexis, what is your experience with prioritizing or not prioritizing?
I think... generally, I like to think of myself as a rather responsible person. I do think that you guys did a good job of teaching me how to prioritize from a young age. And so I do think I try to prioritize a lot. I mean, I think about especially being in like college and stuff, because it's like going to school full time, working full time, you know, trying to maintain church and friendships and all those things. Like in the busier time, because it's a busy time in my life, that definitely was a time where I had to do some extra prioritizing. But I mean, even as recently as like the Christmas season that just came up, you know, there's lots that goes on in November and December, and lots of events you have to go to and parties that you're invited to, and you know, gifts you have to buy and things you have to wrap and commitments that you have, because work doesn't really stop until Christmas, right? And
right.
School doesn't really stop until you get there. And so there's still all those things. And so even as recently as, you know, December, there were times where it was like, okay, I want to do all these things, and I love Christmas, and so I want to do all of it. I want to commit to everything. Right. But, you know, there's that prioritizing of like, hey, you know, I really want to do this thing, but it's more important to me to do this. I really do need to take this time to wrap my gifts for people. Otherwise, I'm going to get to Christmas Eve and not have anything wrapped, you know?
Or be up until 3 a.m.
Exactly, which has happened before. Not going to lie. I think that last year I was up. I was like wrapping the gifts like 2 minutes before we opened them. I was wrapping them on Christmas morning. I was like, it's okay. They're going to unwrap it in 2 seconds. So it doesn't matter if it's pretty, you know? Things like that. That can be the consequences of not prioritizing.
Yeah.
But, you know, even just on a daily basis, looking at, you know, what do I have and what's most important for me to do today? Because the lists can be long, and sometimes things can be put off and sometimes they can't. So
yeah. And I was thinking too, also in prioritizing, you know, there are things that sometimes you need to eliminate all together, like for that time, in order to give more of your attention and more of your time to the other things that take priority.
Right, right. Sometimes you have to cut certain things out. Like, I just really need to, you know, take a break on this area or in this part, or, you know, I can't go out to lunch every Sunday and I normally do because I need to use that time for something else. And, you know, it's only for right now, but it kind of just is what you need.
Yeah, I think it's healthy to draw those borders.
You're like, I'm going to cut work out. Not work out.
No. Well,
I mean, I know no one can see me, but I'm like moving my hands up and down.
Like he's lifting weights. That's what he's looking like, guys.
Right.
He's a bell bar in a bell. Here,
bench pressing?
Yeah, whatever it is.
With barbells.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm bell barring.
All right. We really need a YouTube. We need to start filming this because they're missing on some quality content with how you're moving your arms.
Video. Yeah. Well, video this podcast. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
Yeah. How about that be New Year's resolution for next year?
For 2026? Yes.
We have a year until we can do that.
I love it.
Oh, man. So we talk about in the church setting. Alexis, what would you say that the majority of messages that you've heard talking about prioritizing in the church setting?
I mean, I think that the church definitely puts an importance on prioritizing. I definitely heard quite a few messages, both back when I was in youth group and even, you know, as an adult about prioritizing. And usually, you know, the message is just that, everything can get so busy in your life and work can get busy and your kids can get busy and everything, but you got to put God first, you know? And so really the central messaging that we get is, you know, God first, like God, and then maybe your family comes after that and then work or however it ends up falling. Right. But usually it's, you know, like this structure of like a numbered list and you've got God at number one and then, you know, all the rest of your priorities kind of fall under that.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, as we're, didn't even think about this before, but in that prioritizing, just like that, you know, I think that we've all experienced, you know, being in church and growing up in church. That's what we've been, the message that we've given, you know, that we've received. And and as you're talking down, you know, like God, family, you know, ministry, church, you know, that kind of stuff and work. And I was thinking as a mom, I always felt way down on my own priority list. Like, I don't know, that's definitely for another podcast, but like just thinking about that, or maybe not even on the priority list.
Right.
Just because of the nature of the beast.
Your commitments, you know?
Yeah, and the commitments. And people,
I think it's a really common thing for like moms to feel that way. I mean, obviously I'm not a mom, but I've heard that messaging a lot that, you know, they feel like they have to put everyone else first. But I think even other people can feel that way too. I have talked to people in ministry before where they're in ministry positions and they feel that way. Like they have to put everyone else first and they get served last, you know? And so I think that a lot of people can fall into that where I'm not even on the list of my own priorities at this point, you know?
Yeah. I mean, how many people, unless you're a pretty self-involved person, really or even on the list? Like, would you, John, would you consider yourself on the priority list? Like if you were just
like
thinking
on my
about,
own priority list? No, probably not.
Right. So it's kind of
I think
like
you forget about yourself.
Right. Because you're so busy tending to everybody else, doing all the other things that we forget ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is note for another podcast.
Yeah, right. You're like making your notes. You're like, oh, that's a good one.
She's like, I have a topic.
Yeah. So I agree with what you said as far as the priorities that we've heard in much of the messaging from, you know, the church, which, you know what, makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And usually they'll use the verse that I'm about ready to read that I'm sure many of you have heard before. It's Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Mm-hmm. So that does make sense. It makes sense.
What version is that you just read?
It's NLT, New Living Translation. Yeah. I was in that translation because when I was conversating with somebody this week, like that's the version I usually read out of. And I was like, I kind of like this because I usually read the New King James version. And sometimes switching up your versions help you kind of just see things a little differently or, you know,
So well, whenever I hear that verse too, I think back to the little kids praise song.
Yeah.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, so.
Yep.
And then you started reading it. I'm like, wait a minute.
That doesn't have the word ye in it. Is right. that even the real Bible?
I know.
Because you know, Jesus said ye.
Jesus said KJV only.
He said ye. He's like, what's up, ye?
Ye of little faith. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, and I don't know.
So
I just
read it again.
Like to switch
read
it
again. Okay. Gonna, you made it a little silly there.
You got a little distracted from know ye. So this is Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And so many times this is the backup verse for those priorities. Put God first. Seeking God first. And, So seek the kingdom of God above all else. Put it first. And Jesus said that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's now. Mm-hmm. So can we all agree that the kingdom of God is Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't think it was that much of a stretch, but because we're going to kind of really focus on seeking Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, and he is the kingdom of God. All of it, it's all intertwined together, but we're going to focus on seeking Jesus, referring to this verse in today. So we're going to seek Jesus first. And then it says, live righteously. And actually the other verse is, and his righteousness, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. And so that's what that means. It means living uprightly.
Right, according to Jesus' standards.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. According to his standards, doing the right thing according to what he says. And according to what he says is basically being obedient to what he says. Mm. So this verse is telling us, and this is a very key verse for life in general, but definitely for the verses that we're going to be reading that are before this in Matthew. But that it's the key. It's the key to unlocking life with Jesus. Is seeking him first and also doing what he says, being obedient, living righteously. It's not a legalistic thing, but whenever you are seeking him, you become more like him and he wants to speak to you and your job is to be obedient. So we all mess up, but then you just get right back to it. You don't wait for the new year.
Right.
To start obeying Jesus again.
Yeah.
Just get back up. Keep going. So we talked about how the priorities with God, family, church, work, etc. But I don't see it that way. I honestly haven't seen it that way for a while. And Alexis, when you and I were talking before about this, that's not the way that you were necessarily seeing it either. And I don't know how long, but I definitely see it like when Jesus says to seek the kingdom of God or Jesus first. That's what he means. Not first on the list. He's first. He's first in our personal life. He's first in family. He's first in church. He's first in ministry. He's first in work and everything else. First in our relationships. I mean, whatever you want to plug in there, he is first. He has to be first because he wants to be a part of every part of our lives. And the thing that we can fall into whenever we do, you know, do the number one is God, number one or number two is family, et cetera. When we do that, we tend to kind of silo God. Mm. We put him on a list where, okay, God, I'm putting you first. So first thing in the morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going to read my Bible, which is a great habit and you should, but then it becomes a checkoff list.
Right.
Like, okay, I spent time with you. I gave you your time. Now I'm going to go live the rest of my life. Mm. And so it tends to kind of silo him. So to acknowledge that God needs to be first in every single one of those areas helps us to invite him with our relationship with Jesus into the rest of our lives. And I don't know about you. You can kind of speak to this, but I know that there are many people out there who don't do that.
Yeah,
they're kind of Sunday Christians, you know, and then they just go on about their lives and just live their lives the way that they want to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like being like culturally Christian. Like, yes, I'm Christian because I do believe in God, you know, and I go to church. And so that is what it is. And not that going to church is bad. Going to church is good and you should right. do that. But yeah, it's very much like you said, it's checking off a box. This is mm-hmm. the list of things that I do. And, you know, even, yeah, I pray every day or I pray before my meals or whatever. But it's kind of, again, making it more boxed into that as opposed mm-hmm. to, it, you know, Jesus being woven throughout your whole day or your whole week. It's kind of just, you know, the time that I spend worshiping is on Sunday mornings when there's worship or
right.
when there's worship, like music.
Right.
As opposed to it being like a lifestyle of worship kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. I actually just this past week heard this, and it's maybe nothing new, but it just kind of hit me. So I'm going to share. So, it is about worship. Now mm-hmm. that you mentioned worship, it just kind of triggered it. And when the passage in the Bible that talks about we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Mm. So the thanksgiving is thanking God for what he's done. And then when we enter the courts, we enter them with praise. So we enter the courts, and I mean, this is for another time, but this is kind of a picture of the temple of how, you know, when we enter the courts, we enter with praise. We praise him for who he is. And then the Holy of Holies, which we get to enter and be in all the time if we choose to, is God's presence, is his heavier presence. And in that part, like we have the thanksgiving, we thank him for what he's done. We praise him for who he is. And the worship part is the next part. We are in his presence. That the worship is our response to him of what he's done and who he is.
Yeah.
So worship isn't, of course, just in music.
Right.
It's the response to him. So we can respond in all these other areas of our lives
right.
for who he is and what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never saw it connected like that. It just occurred to me you said worship. So it just,
yeah, well,
that
and
there.
That's like when people talk about mm-hmm. how you can worship doing anything. And I know right. that like I've spoken before and I've, you know, talked to students and just trying to express like you can do anything to worship. Anything can be worship.
Right.
Because everything should be worship because mm-hmm. you should be doing everything for Jesus. So going grocery shopping can be worship.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just the artistic things that you do. It's not right. just music or art or whatever. It can be truly and it should be truly everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also when you invite Jesus into every one of those parts, he actually wants to inspire us in those different parts. So even if it's something that I can do, I can go to my job and mm-hmm. I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that my ability to do it came from God, and I'm thankful for that. My ability to get there, all of those things. God is the one who's put me there. But I can go day to day and just do it. Or I can invite him into it and then he can inspire me.
Yeah.
And he does every day. He'll remind me of things that I forgot and it just makes it so much better. Like
yeah.
it makes me be able to do it to my full potential because I've invited him into my work life.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that in every area. I've experienced it when I've been cooking. Strangest, I mean, it sounds kind of silly. Like if I take a meal to somebody, I'm kind of like, I wait for like the inspiration. Like, is there a certain thing that I should make for them, you know, or when I'm actually cooking and it's not like, oh Jesus, what should I put? It's not like that. It's
right.
just, I'm just acknowledging that he's there and we're just enjoying being together. And then they're like, what's in this? That's so good. And I'm like, I don't know.
You're like, just came out of a can. It's just Jesus.
Taste and see that he is good.
Amen.
I hear him saying you should make meatloaf.
Oh.
Are ya?
That's what I'm hearing.
I thought he was saying you should take your hand at making meatloaf.
Oh.
That won't taste nearly as good.
I don't know.
No, but I love what you said about work too, because that is one of the areas that I experienced that concept so clearly because, you know, as a teacher, like I took education classes in high school. I went to a 4-year program and got my bachelor's degree in education. And so like I can teach, right? And
right.
it is something that I do believe I was naturally gifted with as well. And so I know that in my own power, I can teach, but you know, especially my second year teaching, every morning when I would go in, because I always like to go in early, you know, I would always pray in my classroom. Mm, I felt like that was important. I mean, I prayed, spent my time on the drive atmosphere and everything, but it just was like, I would just do prayer. Even if I got there at the same time as the students did, I just was like a little quick prayer to myself over there. And even visualizing it as like co-teaching with Jesus, obviously, you know,
that's pretty cool.
I feel like that helped me, because there would be times where, you know, I would be teaching a math lesson and, you know, you can tell when you're teaching a group of kids, you can tell when nobody is understanding what you're saying. Yeah. You can tell you're looking at the
kids like blank stares.
And I'm like, okay, I'm trying my best. I've explained it, you know, all the ways the textbook says to explain it. And they're just looking at me like I have five heads, and I can just tell that even though they're paying attention, they don't understand, you know, and there'll be this sort of random thought that will pop into my head. And I'll be like, okay, let me explain it like this. And I'll explain it in a way that I know didn't come from me. I know that I have never heard that before. I have never thought that before. This is never something I've ever related to this math concept. Right. But I, you know, in those moments, I just know it's the Holy Spirit. And he's just, again, like you said, helping me to do my own job. Like not even something that's super Christian or super, it's just my job and it's just math, you know, it's not anything super like holy, but again, doing it with Jesus and allowing him to inspire me in those other moments.
Well, and you have to think too, I mean, God loves them too.
Yeah.
And he wants them to learn and to grow. And, you know, like, so it's all win. It's win, win, win all the way around. Yeah. That's a good example. Thanks. So, you actually answered my next question.
Ooh.
That's very nice.
You must have been inspired.
Wow.
Okay, so let's take a look back at some previous verses before the one that I just read about seeking the kingdom of God first. We're going to go back to Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat in... where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So I don't believe that Jesus is saying that the treasures are bad. It's just saying that earthly treasures are temporary. And that heavenly treasures are eternal. And obviously, that's the goal, right? So if we implement seeking Jesus first and obeying him into these verses, it would look like when you pursue Jesus first and you obey him, heavenly treasures will just naturally follow. We don't necessarily have to go, oh, how can I get that treasure in heaven? How can I? It's just, it's a natural byproduct to going after Jesus and obeying him.
Yeah.
You know, I recently was talking to your mom, John, Eileen, and she was talking about how God was showing her like what heavenly treasures are.
I was just about to ask that. I was like, do you like, because I know the difference between like things that are eternal and not eternal, but I didn't know, like, you sound like you're talking about it in a way that like there's an idea of what heavenly treasures are. So I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably have to think a little bit more about it, but I ultimately in recent times, I would view them as like relationships, like whatever things have eternal value to them, to me, are heavenly treasures. Eternal value equals heavenly treasures for me.
Yeah.
So relationships and, you know, giving that encouragement. It's all the things that we're supposed to do with each other to encourage, to just all of those kind of
things.
To
build the kingdom.
Yeah. And maybe that is what leads to the heavenly treasure and what that looks like. That's a good question for grandma, because she told me, she's like, recently God's been showing me actually what the heavenly treasure is.
So what did she say?
She didn't never really get that far. Great. It was Sunday morning and there was prayer.
Have her call in. I'm just kidding. Surprise, you're on the podcast.
Mom, what is it?
So,
can you send me the catalog of heavenly treasures?
The catalog.
I'd like to pick them out, please.
Yeah. So, I mean, I also kind of view them as the crowns that we'll get that we can cast at Jesus's feet. So I don't know, maybe that's, you know, but like what they stand for and stuff. I don't know. Like, that's just the other thing that when I think of heavenly treasures, 'cause it talks about, you know, how we want to have those. 'Cause whatever heavenly treasures we get, we're not keeping.
Right.
They're there to give to him, because it's just like the three wise men, you know, at Christmas that we celebrate, you know, that they brought their treasures. They brought their most, you know, valuable possessions to him, to serve him, to, you know, valuable things. And so that's, I want to have as much, I want to have more than I can hold, you know, mm-hmm. like a grocery spree where you want to make one trip and you have all these arms full of bags, you know, I want to have as much as I can to give to him. So, that's the other kind of part of the heavenly treasure. So anyways, so the key of it all is pursue Jesus and obey him, and the heavenly treasures will follow automatically. I think it's just, you know, it's being in that obedience that, that it just naturally happens. I don't think it's something that we necessarily have to go after. And then I do believe when we live that kind of lifestyle that we will be blessed with earthly treasures too.
Yeah.
I mean, because when I read through the Bible, that's what blessing comes with obedience. That is the theme of the kingdom. Blessing comes with obedience. When we're obedient to God, blessing follows. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that that can look like, I mean, I'm not like making my wish list to God about I want a Ferrari and I want this. I don't really want a Ferrari, but
I was like, whoa, I've never heard that.
That's probably the first time I've ever said that, but
I couldn't even get out of a Ferrari.
I don't know if I could get into a Ferrari.
I get in it once.
Anyways, we digress. Yeah. So I do believe that the earthly treasure comes along with it, because we know that God is a good, good father, and he gives good, good gifts, and he loves to bless his children, especially when we are choosing to live the lifestyle that he has created for us and doing that. Also, the last part of that verse says, where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. It is obvious to see where your heart is when you look at where you invest your time and your energy. Mm-hmm. So wherever you're investing your time and your energy, that is where you can tell your heart is, because that's where your treasure is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's move on to Matthew 6, 22 through 23. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy or evil, some versions say, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. So the first word that I want to look at here is the when your eye is healthy. So the word healthy there. So like we talked about before, this is the New Living Translation. So it says healthy there, but this is actually a word that is quite different in different translations. So the NASB says clear. For when your eye is clear. The New King James says good for when your eye is good. But the King James says single, which is actually the most accurate in translation. Because when I look back to the Greek word for this word, healthy, good, clear, it points more to the word single. So might sound unusual for when your eye is single, which is probably why they say all these other words, because that sounds really weird, because it sounds like you're a cyclops. But or you're like a pirate with a patch or something. Right. Yeah, that's not really what it's pointing to. But let me see if I can not butcher this Greek word. It is haplous. And haplous is very closely related to the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, alpha. And but it actually stands for like the numeral. So it would be number one. So it's alpha, but when they're looking at it in this context, it's numeral. So numeral one. Hmm. So first or singular. But it also points to united. Hmm. So it's one, but it's united. And it's talking about your eye. The base word of haplous is twine or braid. So I know it's a lot of words to throw at you, but if we're looking at our eye, so we're looking at our vision and what we're looking at. So we're looking at something that is singular, yet it's united. So we'll say twisted. It's a little easier to say twisted or berated. So if our eye, if we choose to have our eye singularly focused on Jesus, the more that we do that, the more that we are twisted together with him and united with him. Mm. So I believe this word is pointing to, if our eye is good, healthy, if it is singularly on him, then that makes us healthy. And he is light, therefore we will be full of light. So wherever our focus is, that is what we will absorb.
Yeah.
These verses before have really thrown me off. I just kind of read them and I'm just like, oh yeah, okay. All right.
That sounds
all right.
Nice.
You said it, Jesus, okay, so cool. I believe it, you know. But like this time that one word jumped out, yeah, like God does. And that just made it so much fuller to me. Like it just really opened it up. So further down in that verse, it talks about, but when your eye is unhealthy, like I said, evil, because most of them point to something not just unhealthy. It's really bad. It's evil. Then your whole body is full of darkness. Now, this might seem like a harsh statement, but I believe there's a whole lot of truth in it. That if we have, like I said, our eyes on Jesus and we are singularly focused on only him and obeying him, we're full of light because we're absorbing who he is into us. Anything else that we focus on besides Jesus will lead to darkness. Mm. Outside of God. I'm not saying like Jesus first, the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about God in general, Jesus. If we choose to focus on anything else that intently, it will lead to darkness.
Right. In other words, having that as our number one spot, right, for lack of a better term, because I know we're trying to get, yeah, away from the list thing. Yeah. But, you know, it's not just about like, you know, it's not evil to go to work or to prioritize, right, things in your life. It's just about it not being your primary focus.
Exactly. Exactly. Anything else that we like focus all of our energy on, including ourselves, mm-hmm, you know, if it's something that fulfills our self-desires, you know, or whatever else. And it kind of has to do with idolatry. I mean, idolatry points to that too. You know, I mean, many times we hear about, well, we don't actually have like statues and stuff that we sit and worship. No, but we do have things that take priority over God in our lives.
Right.
That we are always having to bring it back in check. Always. You know, like whether it's self, satisfying, like as far as like, I really want this. And so I'm going to go to work so that I can achieve this. I want the status or whatever, whatever your motive is. If it takes, you know, if it's over Jesus, then it's an idol.
Right.
So this speaks to that same thing and ultimately will lead to darkness.
Yeah.
I mean, it will, if you're trying to make that position, you know, in your career, and that's not exactly what God has for you, and that's not where he's directing you to, you will start making choices that will lead to darkness.
Well, and even if it's a good thing, even if it's something that Jesus has given you, mm-hmm, like if I can sit here and say like, no, Jesus has provided this job for me, or Jesus has provided this relationship for me, like, cool, that's amazing. But the second that becomes my primary focus and I try to do that in my own power and I try to, you know, put all of my time and energy into it, it becomes an idol in my life and it takes away the focus I should have on Jesus. That's when it becomes a, you know, what's going to bring darkness into my, yeah, life. It's not just like, oh, you know, well, I'm not focused on like something I know is bad or wrong.
Right.
It's, you know, it can be a good thing and it can be something that is, you know, even at church, like I think about that too. Yeah. You know, when I was in
ministry,
right? When I was in, mm-hmm, high school, I got super, super involved at the end of high school. I got super involved in my church. Not the one I go to now, but it was a previous church. And I got super duper involved and it became an idol in my life. The, mm-hmm, serving did, not, you know, any particular person or anything, but I'm like, I'm doing this for Jesus. But it was the act of actually, you know, what I was doing. I found my identity in it, and it became like an idol in my life where my eyes were not on Jesus. My eyes were on how can I do this to the best of my ability? How can this be, you know, the thing that I'm known for and the thing that, you know, makes everyone happy and, and you know, all these things. And again, it was a good thing. I wasn't doing anything wrong or bad, but it was not.
It took priority.
Right. Mm-hmm. I wasn't full of light in that moment because I was not having my priorities on the thing that really did matter in that moment.
Right. Yeah. And I think so much of it is, I mean, we're talking about putting God first in every area of our life, even if it's something that I can do.
Right.
So whenever you chose to do that in your own strength and you just started going after it, then it led to that. You knew it.
Right.
You knew that it led to this place that this is not good.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's ministry. Yes, you're helping people. Yes, you're, you know, doing all of these things to help facilitate a good service and all of these things. But you know, in your heart of hearts that it was not the healthy thing for you.
Well, and you can feel it too. I think that one of the biggest things that is a sign that your priorities are off is that you can start to feel it in your life. Things that shouldn't be as hard as they are really hard things. You know, it seems like all of a sudden everything is too hard and everything is too much and I can't hold it all and I can't do it all. Like I should
because
be
you're
able
trying to do it all.
Right. You're sitting there and you're juggling all these pieces and you feel like everything's falling to the ground and you're trying to catch it and you're trying to hold it up and you're trying to control it and you're trying to make sure that it's all exactly how it should be, but it's all too much. I remember like talking to some college kids back when I worked for my college and I'm like, that is a telltale sign that your priorities are out of whack, that you are not, you got to kind of sit down and you've got to, okay, let me look at this and let me figure out what's going on because it shouldn't feel this way. Right. So you feel it when your priorities are off, whether you know that that's what it is or not, you can sit there and you can be like, wow, something's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And God is so willing to help us with all of it.
Yeah.
And it's so much better. And you can see whenever you get in those tangled places that if you continue to push through and proceed and go that way, that you will be filled with darkness.
Yeah.
Like it's just not a good place, you know?
And you know, you're talking about being filled with darkness. And I think the way that I look at that is it's not like you're absorbing the darkness. It's just that you're not absorbing any light, or the light that was there has been expelled. And so all you have left is darkness. So it's almost like you're empty.
It's like an empty. Yeah.
Right. It's like it's empty. So the darkness is empty. Yeah. Not like you went and absorbed darkness.
Right. I'm not saying you're saying that.
No.
Like yes. And I should probably clarify, because I mean, that could mean any number of different things. So I'm not saying necessarily that you're being possessed by the devil.
Right.
I'm not saying that, but it is, there's a hollowness to it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I also do believe that even beyond that, you can get to a place of being jealous, a place of being greedy, a place of being feeling like a failure.
Being insecure.
Yeah. Like all of those things are darkness. Yeah. Like that's what kind of creeps in because you're not filling yourself with light. You're right. Cause darkness is the absence of light.
Mm-hmm.
Literally it says that in the Bible. So you're right. If we're not absorbing the light, then there's darkness because we still have our human nature. So if we're not constantly leaning into Jesus and allowing him to shine on us and obeying what he says, then it's darkness. That's good.
It's like a solar panel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like when the sun stops shining, it stops having light to absorb and
energy
runs out.
Yeah.
And there's nothing left.
Yeah.
Right. And then you're running on empty and then you're trying to do it all. And that's when you start to feel that way of like, I just can't handle it. And I should be able to and all these things, but you're running on empty. There's nothing in there.
Right.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good word. Thanks for sharing. Absolutely agree with that. So let's keep him in our focus, in our eyes, so that we are not full of darkness, which is the absence of light. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devout to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. So this again is pointing to something singular, right? We can't serve two masters. We have to only have one. Having that, even that divided focus too, when we try to live that life where we go to church, and you can have a relationship and you can even pray every day. But if you don't invite him into the rest of your life, and the rest of your life is, this is what I'm going to do because this is what I want to do. It's divided. It doesn't work. Yeah. It's, you eventually lean one way or the other. You can't do both. So Jesus is making it very clear here that you absolutely can't serve both. It doesn't work. Okay. So we're going to move on to verse 25 now, which is definitely linked directly to 24, where it talks about you can't serve God and be enslaved to money. And Alexis is going to read this for us. It is Matthew 6, 25 through 32.
This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will I eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows that you need, says your heavenly Father already knows all your needs.
Amen. And I like the fact that you read those verses because those are some of your life verses, aren't they?
Oh, I love them. Favorite passage in the Bible.
So then after all of those, which we're going to go back to, then that's when it goes into verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. And these are super encouraging verses, like just because we tend to worry. We tend to, whether we can apply this to any number of different things. I lost my job, or, you know, as parents, what are we going to do with our kids at all these different stages with their growing and learning? And what do we do now, God? I mean, it's all kinds. So, but he does provide, he provides for us. And these verses are pointing specifically to our physical needs. And I think that they're good for encouragement, but I really do feel like we can stop there. Let's just say that we can look at, thank you, God, that you provide all my needs. I believe that you're going to provide all my needs, or physical, because he's really pointing to physical right here. But I believe we can kind of stop there. I believe it really goes deeper because he's been talking about all these other parts of us. He's been talking about the light in us. He's been talking about our servanthood. Where are we serving? You know, are we serving God? Or are we serving money? And that's what he says right before these things. And that's why he goes into it. You know, he's like, are you seeking me first? Or are you worrying about all these other things? Because that is being enslaved to money.
Yeah.
If you're worrying about all these things, you're being enslaved to money. And not only is that a horrible place to be for you, but you're also not seeking me. Because it's one or the other. And again, this is all of these lessons and all these things are just a continual checking point. Like, it's not like I decide today and I'm done, just like our New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. I can't decide January 1st and I'm good for the year. No, it's a choice every day. It's a choice every day. Sometimes it's hourly, depending on what the subject is. This is a constant choice to keep ourselves in check. If we realize that we're starting to worry about these things, red flag. Let's pull it back in. Okay, God, I'm going to seek you first. I trust you.
Yeah.
There's been so many times that I realize my mind gets going and I'm just like, what are we going to do? You know, about all these different situations. And then I stop and I like pull myself back in and I like picture myself focusing on him and saying, okay, I trust you. I trust you. You're my focus. I will seek you. I trust you with all these things and the submission and all those things that we've talked about before. And so these verses are encouraging as far as the physical part, but I'm afraid sometimes that we stop there with it. It's so much more. There's so much more. That's why he leads right into, so seek me first. Obey what I'm telling you to do. And I'll provide all of these things. And not just the physical, but the mental and the spiritual and the emotional. I've got it all for you. You know, going after Jesus, it's like there is no other answer because he is everything. He is literally everything.
Yeah.
He's all that we need. And he is the good old Sunday school answer, and he will always be the answer. It's Jesus every time. And so, you know, while these are encouraging, just don't stop there. Like, realize that there's the bigger picture, that he wants to provide all of it and he wants to be a part of it. You said something about co-teaching with Jesus.
Yeah.
And it rang the co-laboring with God.
Yeah.
He wants us to co-labor with what he has. So it's not just providing for us. It's being intentional. It's furthering his kingdom. It's what we do. So if we're over here so worried about everything, mm-hmm. instead of focusing on him, we're missing our neighbor or the person that we just walk past who needs life. They need us to speak life to them. We miss it because we're so wrapped up in worrying about, well, what am I going to do about this situation?
Yeah.
You know, and there are times, listen, it's not a guilt trip. There are times when, you know, but as long as you bring it back around to the focus, the majority of our life needs to be furthering the kingdom and pushing forward and making a difference, not just surviving.
Right.
You know, there are times, I will give you that. We all go through our times where we are keeping our nose above the water, but then eventually we need to be walking on the water.
Well, and I think too, like the idea of, oh, we always have to focus on Jesus. We always have to focus on Jesus. Sometimes I think people can hear that and feel pressure. Like you're saying, like, we get it. There's always times where you're in survival mode, but like, you know, I feel like it's important to recognize that shouldn't, the idea of putting Jesus first, it when you understand it fully, it brings relief to me. When I was able to understand it further, it was like, wow, this is not like another thing I need to add to my plate or another thing I need to strive for all the time. It's like, I don't have to worry about anything else. I don't, like, it's not like, oh, Jesus and my work and school and all these other things. It's like, no. It says at the end of those verses we just read about, like, your heavenly Father already knows all your needs.
Yeah.
He already knows every single desire you have, every single need that you have, everything you're trying to balance and work in, and all of the goals that you have and all those things. And he knows the call he has on your life. So if you're trying to make that happen in your own power, like, again, he's the one who knows that. He put that there. All of those things, like, it brings relief to me to realize that, like, no, I don't even have to worry about all that stuff. My only priority is keeping my eyes on Jesus. That's the only thing I have to do. It's not another thing to add to my list. It's he's taking my entire list and he's like, I got this.
Ooh,
all I need to do, all you have on your list now is me. And that's it.
Yeah.
That is so good. Like, it's like a weight is lifted when you fully understand that, like, wow, I don't even have to worry about that. Like, he'll take care of that for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Thank you for bringing that to light, because I definitely don't want that to be another added pressure, because you're right. I think that could definitely be. And I probably went through that too, you know, where it was, I have to. And if I don't, I suck.
Yeah.
You know, like, but yeah. And it's, we get to,
right.
We get to, you know, and, that was just really good, because, and that's that kind of swallows up everything else, like in a good way. That's exactly it. Because
look at Alexis just taking over.
She's gonna have to come on more often. That was really good. I think that's a perfect place to end it. Honestly, it's God. It is. Mm-hmm. It's Jesus. That's all it is. And he will lead you and guide you and all those other things, you know. I frequently, you were talking about work, you know, I wish I can just, you know, check out of work, you know, let's just take it off the list. But then I think about those people that God calls as missionaries, and they just go and they have nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, now listen, you got to be called. God has to be telling you to do this, but they do. And God just provides. I mean, he did for Jesus and the disciples. I mean, I'm not saying that it was easy and that they were in the lap of luxury, but he provided for what they needed, you know? And so we have to definitely just surrender to that point where it's just Jesus. And we can be grateful for the things that he puts in front of us to do. But as long as we lean into him and do what he says, it happens so much easier.
Right.
It really, really does. So, wow, that was really good. So I hope that everybody has been very encouraged today. Let's just go after Jesus, obey what he says, and all of everything else will fall into place. He has never, ever failed us, and he never will. And so till next time, continue believing in the one and only true God, and we will see you then.